Mother's Day. I tell you all the time I despise holidays because there's only so much you can say, but I never get tired of talking about mothers. I just don't. I love Mother's Day. Can you guess some of the reasons why? I love my mom, all right? I mean, that's just a given. I get in trouble every time I talk about my mom, I offend somebody. But I want to explain something to you if I can. My mom, you know, she's been with the Lord for 9 years. But for many years, you know, 17 years, whatever it was, 16 years, she was my mother while I was your pastor. She's heard me speak about her, all right? So when I speak about my mom, I know that there are things about my mom that are not flattering. I know that. But our job, not just mine, but our job, is not to exalt a person, but the person. Do you understand? And so when I tell you my mom's warts, it's not to humiliate my mother, but it is to show you the great, glorious God that we have. So, you know, every time I say something about my mom, I say, you know, something that somebody says, you shouldn't talk about your mother that way. But, you know, if I don't tell you how great a grace that was required to reach my mother, then someone will miss how great a God that we have. So my mom was not always the perfect mother. Now, I will tell you, growing up, I had the perfect childhood. I did. My home was happy. My parents loved me. I've never questioned whether my parents loved me or not, ever, once. I loved them. We had fun. We enjoyed one another. But along about 12 years of age, my mom left my dad, married my dad's brother, and things got really ugly. But through all that, my mom was still my mom. But through all of that as well, God did a miraculous thing, stepped into my family, and I am here today because when my mom left, God stepped in. I got saved. My brother got saved. My sister got saved. My dad got right with God. My mom got right with God. And things changed. And so now, when my mom died, hundreds, literally hundreds of people came to the funeral. And I am convinced they came to see what we were going to say. What are they going to say? I mean this sincerely. Because my mom was married to my dad's brother for 17 years. My dad's brother died of cancer. My dad had never remarried. 2 years later, my mom and dad remarried. So here we are at the funeral with my cousin brothers and it was just one of those, you know, my family's a soap opera. And you know what I did? I stood up and I told them just what I told you. We know my mom wasn't perfect. We know that. But God is greater than our sin. And isn't it wonderful earlier in this verse that he had not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities? Wow. That's the kind of God we have. So if you say, man, I've messed up my life and God can't do anything with it, let me tell you, I'm living proof that God is greater than our sin. So I want to exalt the Lord with everything that I say. So I love Mother's Day because of my mother. I love Mother's Day because of my grandmother, my mother-in-law, my wife. Every mother that has stepped in my life has been a glorious event for me, including the mothers of my children. You know, I mean, every mother that has put her toe into my life, it's been a wonderful thing that God has used for me. My kids are adopted, if you didn't know that. They know that, and they're here this morning. It's so wonderful to have my daughter home. We didn't expect her to be home before. She was traveling, and she had a weekend free, so she's home. So it's good to have her. But my kids are adopted, and I thank God for those mothers who made the right decision. And now my kids have come to know Christ as Savior, and they're serving the Lord. What a story. I'm living proof that God is greater than sin. So what I want to focus on, though, is verse 17. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. You know, here's what we know. You can probably fill in the blank for this verse. The Lord hath visited upon the children and the children's children and the children's children's children what? The iniquities of the father. We hear that one all the time. Live right, or else you're going to curse your kids and your grandkids and your great-grandkids. And by the way, you know, there's some legitimacy to that. It's not that God is cursing them. It is that there's repercussions for sin. And those repercussions have an impact. But have you ever realized that there's repercussions for righteousness as well? Look at the end of verse 17. Look what it says in verse 17. It says, His righteousness is unto children's children. Do you know that we have a God who is not looking for ways to curse us? He doesn't have to. We are cursed. We're under the curse of sin. God doesn't need to look anywhere to curse us. But we have a God who is looking for the opportunity to bless us. And that's somewhat of what I want to show you out of this box. It's a little bit different than before, but I'll try to make sure that everybody can see. Years ago, my grandmother was 89 years of age, and she was breathing the last breath. My grandmother, I was 16 when my grandmother died, and I never one time, I'm saying this honestly, I never one time heard my grandmother talk negatively about anyone. When I was about 12, for Christmas, her children bought her running water. I'm not making this up. Worthington, Indiana, she lived in town, but in town they didn't have city water. And so outside my grandma's back door, there was a pump. And it had the best tasting water you would ever know. Cold, so cold it hurt your teeth. You know, just coming up from the ground, we'd go out there and we loved to pump the well. What we didn't love to do was use the outhouse. That was never fun. But she had an outhouse and a pump. So for Christmas one year, her kids bought her indoor plumbing. What a wonderful thing. And so they installed a bathroom in this little closet they found, put a bathroom in there. You had to go through the bathroom to get to the attic, but hey, at least you had a bathroom now, right? And the only bad thing about going through the bathroom to get to the attic is that's where us grandkids slept, was in the attic. And it was literally like a shotgun attic. It had bunks, like army bunks. She had five sons in World War II at the same time. And she had army bunks, and she'd just pile the grandkids in, usually two to a bunk, and that's the way we slept. And the other place we got to sleep, if you were one of the chosen ones, and literally, because they'd put your name in, because we fought over it, outside the bathroom in the breezeway between the living room and the kitchen was a feather bed. And we would love, and they'd pile us in four or five at a time, just pile us in. And you'd all roll to the middle, you know, and It was a great life. It really was. It was a wonderful thing. And so, but sleeping upstairs in the attic, at the end of the thing, there was this box always sat just on a table. And so my grandmother had died, and this is my dad's mom. And my mom is at this time married to my uncle. And she says, John, do you want anything of your grandma's? And I said, you know, Mom, upstairs, there's this old box. It looks like a pirate's chest. This is, you know, my 16-year-old brain. That's what I always thought it was. I'd love to have that box. Now, I'm telling you, we've gotten in trouble for me having this box. My brother and sister, how'd you get that box? I asked for it. You have not because you ask not. Did Mom ask you if you wanted anything at Grandma's? Yeah. Well, what'd you say? Nothing. Hello. That's why I have it. You understand? My cousin's like, what? You got grandma's box? Yes, I asked for it. So anyway, I want to open the box and I want to show you, because this is what I believe God used to pass on to generations. And that song, I had no idea they were going to sing that song. But in spite of sin messing up a lot of things in my family, I had a godly grandmother, and she prayed for her children and her grandchildren every day. We'd lay in the feather bed, if you got to sleep in the feather bed, and I'm not making this up. You may think I'm making this up, but I mean, I come from a big family, all right? I'm the baby of six. We're all there, and my dad is one of 8 kids. They're all there. They're kids. This room, this house has literally a bedroom, a living room, a kitchen, and the attic I just described, and we're just piled everywhere. Now, some people go over to Aunt Zelda's and sleep over there, and some people go over to the neighbor Daisy's house and sleep over there. Daisy was, she had a glass eye that freaked you out, but, you know, other than that, she was a nice lady. And so, but we just piled everywhere. But if you had the privilege of sleeping in the feather bed, about 4 o'clock in the morning, something would wake you up. And you'd hear this noise. And it was like, shh, shh. My grandmother had those old wooden plank floors, you know, and her feet would just be shh, 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 and she's shuffling. And we always had breakfast, and a huge breakfast. And she'd start about 4 o'clock in the morning. About 7, 8 o'clock, here comes everybody. We're just sitting everywhere, and we're eating the best food you can imagine. She knew how to cook. She knew how to cook. And then she'd clean it, pump the water, heat it up, clean the dishes, and then you know what she started doing? Fixing lunch, because that's all you got time for. But while you were listening to her feet shuffle, you'd hear her sing. Amazing grace. How sweet. Back and forth. Back and forth. And God... God sowed seed in your pastor's heart, right there, right there. So while my parents weren't just showing me the love of God, they were showing me love, but not the love of God. They weren't living for the Lord. But the seed of God's word was being sown one note at a time, so that at 16, when I heard the gospel, I said, Jesus saved me. And he did. So I want to open the box and show you what I believe is my grandmother's legacy. And the challenge today is this, ladies. Leave a legacy for your children. I'll give it to you real quickly. I know I'm talking a lot and running out of time. And if I keep going, I'll just keep crying. Do this. Leave a legacy for your children. It's a legacy, first of all, of practice. My grandmother practiced a servant's heart. She showed it to me. I love that. Even though my mom wasn't living for the Lord, you know what? My mom had a servant's heart. I've always had the example of a servant's heart in my life, always. I married my wife because you know what she is? She is a servant. And I gravitate to a servant's heart. So, you know, my mom, on 2 different occasions, maybe 3, I drove a busload of teenagers to my mom's house, unannounced. We were in the area, and we were either going to go to McDonald's or come to your place. Can you feed us? I'm not making that up. 25 teenagers. We get out, mom would start cooking. 2 hours later, we'd leave with full bellies, and she never complained. That was my mom. And that was my grandmother. That was the heritage. Leave a heritage for your children, a legacy, something that's going to mean something for generations. God is looking for a reason for his righteousness to impact generation after generation. And just as our sinful choices impact future generations, so our righteous choices do. My grandmother chose to be a servant. She chose to have a joyful heart. She sang, et cetera, et cetera. She chose to have a thankful heart. My mom tells a story. I'm telling you, I've never heard my grandmother ever say anything bad about somebody. Neither had my mom. And my mom and dad grew up next door to each other. So my mom was 2 when she met my dad, all right? And he came home from World War II and married her. But my mom would say to us, I've never heard grandma say a bad thing about anybody, except for one time. So my grandmother was getting older. She was struggling to remember things. And she was now living with my mom and my uncle. And my mom made beef stroganoff, which is kind of an unusual, you know, these are Southern Indiana people. If it wasn't meat and potatoes, you didn't eat it. So beef stroganoff. So my mom made beef stroganoff. My grandmother sits down to eat it. My mom says, Mom, what do you, no, my grandmother says, Helen, who taught you how to cook? And my mom says, You did, Mom. And she says, I didn't do a very good job. That was my grandmother being negative, you know. That was my grandmother saying something bad about someone. She had a thankful, joyful heart, and that's the legacy that she has left, is this wonderful, thankful, joyful heart that she has. Somebody's calling me, I don't know who. Now I want to open the box and show you what I believe is my grandmother's truest legacy, and that is, I believe that every one of us show something of our priorities when we leave. Now, honestly, I'm telling you, this is my grandmother's treasure. She had nothing else. She had nothing else. There was a curio cabinet in the living room full of junk. That was her treasure. That's what she had. So when you open the box, this tells you what my grandmother counted as dear. This is why my grandmother's legacy still lives to this day. First thing you'd find is this. It's a Bible. She cherished the Word of God. And when you open it, it says this to Albert. That's my dad. From mother and dad. Let this be your guide. That's my grandmother. The Word of God. She would read. I mean, she did three things. She cooked, she read the Bible, and she watched Billy Graham on television. Those are the three things she did. And she now, I guess there's a fourth, because she was like the family historian. I can't take you and show you all the stuff. I kept junk because nobody else wanted it. They were going to throw it away. I'm like, what? That's grandma's calendar. I can tell you when Bill Kirkley broke his leg in 1942, because grandma wrote it on her calendar. I can't tell you who Bill Kirkley is. I don't know. I can just tell you that he broke his leg. And she kept everything, you know, just all that important. This, I don't know where she got it. An interesting thing. Can you see this? What does this look like to you? It looks like a crucifix, doesn't it? Would it scare you to know that this is the backbone of a fish? But she says, you know what? You've seen one of those before? My grandmother kept that. Why? Because it represents the Lord. Here's one of her books. The Life of Jesus. Oh, there's a good book. Somebody ought to do some reading. Don't you think? Yeah, there's a good book. Here's her diary. I won't tell you about Bill Kirkley and all the rest right now, but she's got a diary she keeps in there. The Lord was one of the most precious things to my grandmother. Ladies, if we're going to leave a legacy, if you're going to have something that you want to leave behind, then hear me out. It is fine for you. It is fine for you to accumulate things. But in the end, what's that song about our kids sifting through things, you know? Am I the only one who knows that song? All right. Well, if I think of it, I'll sing it for you. But right now, I probably couldn't anyway. I'd probably just cry. All right, so you get the idea. Keep working ourselves down through here. Six things you'll never regret. Number one, showing kindness to an old person. Number two, destroying a letter written in anger. Of course, nowadays you'd have to write a letter first, but okay. Number three, offering an apology that saves a friendship. Number four, stopping scandal that would wreck a reputation. Number five, taking time to show loved ones consideration. And number six, feeling reverence for your maker. At the bottom it says, words of wisdom. These were what my grandmother lived by. This is the legacy of my grandmother, whose name you would never know and who you've never met. But she has impacted your life by virtue of the fact that you're here and I'm her grandson. Let me show you what was important to my grandmother. Her family. Say, an almanac makes her family important? Yes. It says, if you can read it, what's that year? 1918, all right? And then over in the margin, she writes, the year George and I married, 1918, she married my grandfather. She kept the almanac. Why? Well, because that's the year that she married my grandfather. And that was important to her. It's junk. I'm aware of that. I could take it to a dealer and I'd get maybe 50 cents for it. I know it's junk. But it represents the heart of my grandmother and the legacy that she was leaving for her children. In here, you open up this compartment. She's got a letter from my dad that he wrote in World War II to her. I won't read it to you because I can't. Been 1 year ago this month, and my dad's been with the Lord, and we rejoice with that. He's with the Lord. Your name, a little article she keeps. You got it from your father. It was all he had to give. So it's yours to use and cherish for as long as you may live. If you lose the watch he gave you, it can always be replaced. But a black mark on your name, son, can never be erased. It was clean the day you took it, a worthy name to bear. When he got it from his father, there was no dishonor there. So make sure you guard it wisely. After all is said and done, you'll be glad the name is spotless. When you give it to your son, a bead. I thought, what in the world? I did not realize the cherished gift I had been given. It is literally a bead and an ugly one to boot. I mean, it's a bead. It's got a hole in it. You can run a piece of string in it. It's so big, you probably run a rope through it. I mean, it's like, it's just an ugly bead. But I never met my grandfather. He was dead before I was born. And I never met my brother Mike. He was dead before I was born. This note is in here. It says, little Mikey's bead, he saw Grandpa's feet in it. So I said to my mom, what in the world is that? You know, well, my grandfather would dance a jig, and Mike would sit and laugh. And when my grandfather died, Mike would pick up this bead. And he'd move it. And he'd say, I see Grandpa's feet. And, so, what a cherished thing. Family was important to my grandmother. How about this? Have you ever seen anything so ugly in your life? Yes, that's ugly. I know it is. You know how I know it is? From Johnny Ray, that would be me. April 14th, 1968, taped to the bottom of this egg. She hollowed it out. It's filled with cotton now. I made that for Easter, and she kept it. I don't know why, but guess what? Now I'm keeping it. I don't know why. Her family was important to her. The Lord was important to her, which leads me to the last thing. The last thing that I'm going to share with you about my grandmother that was important to her. It's not a letter, actually. It's a song. I can't sing it because I don't know the tune. But if you know the tune, you can sing it for me later. Tom Gray's Dream. Anybody ever heard of Tom Gray's Dream? It's one of those, you know, I think you had to be from Southern Indiana. But anyway. Tom Gray lay down on the barroom floor, I'm sorry, having drunk so much he could drink no more. So he fell asleep with a troubled brain to dream that he rode on a hellbound train. The engine with blood was red and damp and brilliantly lit by a brimstone lamp. An imp for fuel was shoveling bones, while the furnace, I can't read all of it because it's old, rang out with 1,000 groans. The boiler was filled with lager and beer, and the devil himself was the engineer. The passengers made such a motley crew, church members, atheists, Gentiles, and Jews, rich men in broadcloth and beggars in rags, handsome young ladies with withered old hags, yellow and black men, red, brown, and white, and all chained together. What a horrible sight. You get the idea. This is the part that's important. In my grandmother's shaky hand, she writes, "Dear children, take this warning. Do not put it off too late. Don't ride the hellbound train." That was the prayer of my godly grandmother. And it took a divorce and a rough patch in my family. But this man fell on his face before God and trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. And I believe that God honored the legacy left by my grandmother. Ladies, what legacy are we leaving for our children? I hope that you can accumulate stuff that you can pass on. That's wonderful. But in the end, if we cannot pass on to them the knowledge of the love of God for sinful man, we've missed it all.